Why should the university be obligated to provide food to people who have taken over a building?
First of all, we're saying that they're obligated to provide food to students who pay for a meal plan here.
But you mentioned that there was a request that food and water be brought in, unless I misunderstood.
To allow it to be brought in. I mean, well, I guess it's ultimately a question of what kind of community and obligation Columbia feels it has to its students. Do you want students to die of dehydration and starvation or get severely ill, even if they disagree with you? If the answer is no, then you should allow basic, I mean, it's crazy to say because we're on an Ivy League campus, but this is like basic humanitarian aid we're asking for. Like, could people please have a glass of water?
But they did put themselves in that, very deliberately, in that situation and in that position. So it seems like you're sort of saying, we want to be revolutionaries, we want to take over this building. Now would you please bring us food and water?
Nobody's asking them to bring anything. We're asking them to not violently stop us from bringing in basic humanitarian aid.
They're stopping the delivery of food?
We are looking for a commitment from them that they will not stop it violently.
But they haven't stopped it yet.
I don't know to what extent it has been attempted, but we're looking for a commitment.
Okay, that little delightful bit is from a Columbia student who was part of the protesters. And you heard it. I mean, it's just a little silly, isn't it? It'd be really silly and funny if it weren't so serious. This is Sandy Rios with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. Today we're going to go to New York City, and we're going to talk to somebody who's there right there on the spot. He's a graduate of Columbia. We're also going to have a little visit with Jerry Seinfeld. Well, sort of. Stay tuned for that. Let me just tell you, you can call us at 662-821-2040, 662-821-2040, and leave us a message, and we will listen, and we might play your call on the air. It's kind of fun, and we'll respond to it. Also, you can find us on social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And by the way, we're going to talk about social media today because our guest is with Media Research Center. So that's another thing about how they are censoring information for all of us. You can hear the show on any podcast platform at afr.net and really all podcast platforms. And you can go to sandyrios.com and find the show and all kinds of information about what we're doing. Speaking of college students, there was a girl named Abby who was a college student, and she became pregnant. She had zero support from the baby's father and was abortion-minded, but knew that her family was behind no matter what decision she made. In the Preborn Network Clinic, a nurse gently asked Abby to gaze into the future and reflect on the decision she would be making for her baby. Abby shared that she believed abortion would solve this issue, but that she might have a deep regret. During her ultrasound, Abby heard her baby's heartbeat and saw the preborn baby moving around. Awestruck and moved by the life stirring within her, Abby was shocked at the development of her baby. Abby chose to embrace life for her baby and the journey of motherhood, a choice she could make because of the compassionate resources provided by the clinic, provided by Preborn, which means provided by you. If you go to preborn.com/Sandy, you can make your most generous donation. You can help girls like Abby, who are alone except for their family. The boy is nowhere to be found. Sad, but that's the reason why we encourage girls not to do this, is to stay chaste until they get married. It's God's way, and it is the best way. But if that doesn't happen with you, Preborn is a great, wonderful, redeeming solution. Preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, I told you we're going to visit with Jerry Seinfeld, but I wasn't really serious about that. But the next thing you're going to hear is Jerry Seinfeld speaking at Duke University's graduation. The situation is that he's receiving an honorary doctorate. He's got children who are graduating from Duke. And as he begins to speak, Hamas supporters stand up and disrupt. And that's what you're going to hear next on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line.
Life is sacred. Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
Deal about our commencement speaker?
I totally admire the ambitions of your generation to create a more just and inclusive society. I think it is also wonderful that you care so much about not hurting other people's feelings in the million and one ways we all do that every second of every day. It's lovely to want to fix those things, but, all caps, but, what I need to tell you as a comedian, do not lose your sense of humor. You can have no idea at this point in your life how much you are going to need it to get through. Not enough of life makes sense for you to be able to survive it without humor. And I know all of you here are going to use all of your brains and muscle and soul to improve the world, and I know you're going to do a bang-up job. And when you're done, as I am now, I bet the world, because of you, will be a much better place. But it will still not make a whole hell of a lot of sense. It'll be a better, different, but still pretty insane mess.
All right, so that was the familiar, maybe to you, voice of Jerry Seinfeld, the comedian, who, you know, Seinfeld is the most famous thing that he has produced, stand-up comedian. He was a speaker at Duke University class of 2024 commencement over the weekend. And while he began to speak, students began to chant and leave the audience. I think some a dozen, something like that, students got up and left, and others were chanting. Meanwhile, you heard the crowd as they began to chant, "Jerry, Jerry," and drowned out the others, and he proceeded with his speech. So that's what happened. You know, these protests are spreading across the country. Emory, I saw just a video. There, Emory students are being trained to fight the police. They're being trained on campus, techniques, how to hurt the police, how to make them fall backwards, evasive techniques. It's pretty stunning what's happening. A lot of this started, though, in New York City at a university known as Columbia. And I want to talk with my next guest, who's been a longtime friend, but that's not his claim to fame, who is actually in New York City right now where so much is happening. He graduated from Columbia, and we'll get to that in a second. But also today, when I'm speaking to you, this will be coming to you later, but as we speak, Donald Trump is on trial in New York City, and Michael Cohen, his former attorney, is testifying. So that's where we are in time. Dan Schneider is the vice president of MRC Free Speech America and MRC Business and External Affairs. Before that, he was with CPAC, and that's how I've known him so very long, the American Conservative Union. Dan, thank you so much for joining us this morning from New York City. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks a lot, Sandy. I really appreciate being on your show. It's a great show. I always enjoy it.
Oh, thank you. Well, I should say that you got your Juris Doctorate from Columbia, and so you are an attorney, and I'm sure you're watching this trial for President Trump, and you shared with me earlier that you actually know something about Michael Cohen that has never been reported. And well, first of all, tell us your thoughts about what's happening, and then tell us that story with President Trump.
Well, of course, everybody who has any sensibility at all understands that this trial against Donald Trump, this criminal trial, is politically motivated. It's a farce. The worst accusation, where there's any evidence at all, would be a mild misdemeanor. Like a jaywalking charge at best. Alvin Bragg, just like these other prosecutors around the country, these radical left-wing Soros-funded prosecutors, they are indicting Trump for political reasons. This is not new. Every one of your listeners has heard this before. They've heard why it's politically motivated. I don't know that it's necessary to rehash any of that. But I do have my own personal story with Michael Cohen and Donald Trump.
All right, before you tell that, don't assume that people know who Michael Cohen is. Just give us a snippet. He is the former attorney,
right, well, Michael,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Michael Cohen used to work for Donald Trump. He's a lawyer, and he was known, he liked to call himself Mr. Fix-It. to help Donald Trump fix different problems within the Trump for-profit companies. So I went up to meet with Donald Trump to invite him to come to CPAC. It was either the first or second time I met with him. And in the middle of the meeting, Michael Cohen knocked on the door and to bring in papers for Donald Trump to sign. At my recollection, is Donald Trump was selling one of his buildings, and he just needed to sign the final deal on it. And Donald Trump turned to me and said, "Hey, this is my lawyer, Michael Cohen. He went to the University of Michigan, right, Michael?" And Cohen lied and said, "Yes, I went to school in Michigan." Now, I instantly knew what that meant. He did not go to the University of Michigan, which is a top 10 ranked law school. He went to a different school in Michigan because he said, "I went to school in Michigan." But he essentially lied to Donald Trump and to me. He'd been telling Donald Trump he went to the University of Michigan for years, probably. Turns out he went to Michigan State, which, Michigan State's a very decent law school, but it's not a top 10 law school like Michigan. He just lied to us all. But, as I've heard more about Michael Cohen, this is typical of the stories that are reported about him. I experienced one where he just flat out lied to the president and to me.
Yeah, well, the report on him is that he's a chronic liar. He lied before Congress. In fact, Jim Jordan and others are asking, report. I don't know who they sent there, maybe to the judge, that their experience, and that he needs to be held account for lying to Congress. So he's sitting on the bench now, sitting on the witness seat right now, testifying against Donald Trump. He actually wore, we're going to talk about social media, you and I, in a second. But I don't know if I know your life has been a little crazy this last week or so. But he actually was posting on Facebook pictures of himself in a T-shirt with featuring Donald Trump's behind bars. That's what he's been doing leading up to this testimony. That's the kind of man he is. But well, speaking of New York City, this must be New York City Day because we started out with Gary Seinfeld. And then we were talking about what's happening with President Trump in that courtroom, the gut-wrenching thing that he's going through. But then there's Columbia Law School where all these protests really seem to have started, Dan. You went there, and I guess, why did you choose Columbia? You're a Kansas guy, right? You're from Kansas.
Yeah, I went to college at the University of Kansas. I lived in China for a year. I wanted to go to a law school that specialized in Chinese law, and Columbia was one of the handful of law schools in the country that had that kind of program. So I packed my bags and moved to New York City and went to law school here in New York. And I had Marxist professors at the time. My property law professor was one of these law professors. In the law profession, they're called CRITs, Critical Legal Studies Scholars, CRITs. My law professor was a CRIT. His basic premise was there's no such thing as property rights, and he was my property law professor. Columbia's been radical for a long time, but I'll tell you this. Decades ago, when Columbia's radical, at least they had smart radicals. Today, the people that Columbia University admits aren't so smart, and they say silly, stupid things, misinformed and based on illogic. So it's even though lots of us can agree that these people are moving in the wrong direction, I think we should all be shocked at how stupid they are as well.
I never thought of that distinction, but you're right, Dan. When I think about Bernadine Dorner-Billiers, because I'm from Chicago, I've talked about that on the air a lot, but I'll just say that was an issue I talked about a lot. Both spoiled brats from really wealthy families, CEO of Commonwealth Edison, and I don't know what Bernadine's dad was, but they had a lot of money in their family, and they hated their country. But one thing you cannot say about them, Dan, is that they were stupid. They were crazy like foxes, and they knew exactly what to say because they were communists. They were Marxists. They wanted to destroy the country. And Marxism, how it's manifesting now on college campuses, has gotten really silly. I know it's still very effective, but just like the fact that they said, 2 years ago that speech was violence, and they have speech zones.
Exactly.
And now they're doing this?
Exactly. Okay, Sandy, you're the first person in media I've heard say this, and I've been trying to get this message out. For years, we've been told that if you misgender somebody, that you are essentially guilty of murder because you're creating anxiety, and that's going to lead to premature death, so you are killing them. And so it's evil to say anything that might cause offense with our white privilege. Yet now, suddenly, it's perfectly okay to say to somebody, because they're Jewish, that they are evil and that they should be eliminated, that they are the problem in the world. Like, this, whatever happened to these lefties who are saying that you can't say anything that might hurt somebody's feelings? And today, they do it with impunity.
Oh, yes, they do. And I think people are just watching, their heads are spinning. Like, where in the world is this going? Where is it going? We've had some really kind of good moments. In fact, that this morning I saw what happened at Ole Miss when the pro-Hamas students tried to take over this. And in fact, let's listen for a second. This is how the students at Ole Miss responded. This is clip 9. So they kind of took care of the protesters in due course, just by overwhelming them. I know that that'll never happen at Columbia. It's a different place. But do you have any hope at all? How do you see this ending at Columbia?
Well, Sandy, let me just first say this. Just last week, we at the Media Research Center published an article that showed that of the 9 universities that are running amok with these people, George Soros has given over $34 million to those universities. But at the 5 universities that responded promptly, both protecting free speech rights but not allowing criminal behavior, that those 5 universities, like Florida, Florida State, they have received less than $1.5 million in total. These universities run by these radical professors, they seem to be addicted to that George Soros money, and they'll do whatever he wants them to do. And of course, he himself is so anti-Israel and anti-expression of Jewish faith. But where do I see this going? Look, the good news about all these radical universities pursuing all these DEI standards and not recruiting and bringing on campus the best and the brightest anymore is that they are heading toward irrelevancy. So long as we, the American public, who still believe in the ideas of our founding, the ideals of America, as long as we preserve our freedom, our God-given freedom, we will succeed. And I'm not sure, we don't need to know exactly how we will succeed. Sandy, I think I may have said this to you once before on the radio, but when I was in Jerusalem last and went out to one of the settlements in Samaria, I was looking down on Jericho, and the moon was rising, and I was just thinking, how in the world do we win freedom? And I just thought, we don't need to know. God had his people circle Jericho, and we all know that story. They didn't know what was going to happen, but God knew, and God brought the walls down. So we just need to be diligent in doing what God has put in front of us to do and not give up, not lose hope, do what God has called us to do, and we can trust in him to help us preserve the freedom that he has given our whole country and our people.
Dan Schneider, you sound like Sandy Rios. Yep, I see the same way. I always try to say, we have to understand that we can't do it. It's too hard. It's too complicated. It's too wicked. It's too overwhelming. But we have to fight, and you're right, God's the guy. God's the guy. I don't want to say that about him. God is God, and he's going to do what he can do. And if he chooses to save us, there's nothing that can stop that. So one of the reasons we're in this position, as you and I both know, you know better than I because you are with Media Research Center, and that's Brent Mozell's entity. I've known Brent for so many years, and you're a great addition to their team. You have a Free Speech Alliance, which I had the privilege of being part of through American Family Association. And actually, I think before I joined AFA, I joined you when you formed it many years ago. And Dan, it's like conservative organizations becoming aware of how social media is, you know, working against us and censoring us. And I just want to go back in time. You know, this might have been before you came to there, but we actually met with the he has an Indian name, Pachar, something like that, of Google, and we met with the executives of Facebook, and we got assurances from them. How did those assurances go? I mean, you know that. What's the result of a meeting with the Free Speech Alliance and these people?
Yeah, well, Google is the very, very worst of all the big tech platforms. Sometimes people have a difficult understanding how they can be so bad. Facebook they get because they have a Facebook account. Twitter, X, again, people have their own accounts, and so they have a sense for what censorship looks like. Google does it so surreptitiously. It's like a serpent. I'm sorry, there's noise in the background here.
That's okay.
Dr. Richard Epstein has estimated that Google swayed anywhere between 6 to 9 million votes in the last election. We've done our own Google studies that show how Google, this is unbelievable, before each one of the last Republican presidential campaign debates, and then during the interim periods between those debates, we did two tests. One, a search on Google for Democrat presidential campaign websites, and a second set of searches for Republican presidential campaign websites. Google, when looking for Democrats, the first search result was Joe Biden's campaign website. And in the top five was Marianne Williamson. But nowhere in the top 27 of search results did Google ever give anybody RFK Jr.'s campaign website. That's when RFK Jr. was running as a Democrat and was the single greatest threat to Joe Biden's reelection. Now, this is the really surprising part. When we looked for Republican presidential campaign websites over the course of about 3 months, Google would only produce two campaign websites. One for Marianne Williamson, again, a Democrat, and the only other campaign website Google would deliver when looking for Republican presidential campaign websites was Will Hurd, you know, a little-known congressman from Texas who never broke 1% in the polls. But Google would never give Donald Trump's campaign website, Ron DeSantis, Vivek Ramaswamy, Nikki Haley, nobody else. This is one of the ways that Google is changing public perception. Google News, anytime you looked at the Trump tab on Google News, it only gave you left-wing websites to read about Donald Trump, nothing on the right. Same with Joe Biden, only left-wing websites connected on Google News, nothing from right-wing media. Google is out to manipulate people's thought processes and how they vote.
Yes, and people need to understand that carries over to YouTube, which is their sister company. YouTube just does not, it's so hard to see. I did a story this morning, Dan, on there's a J6er who just killed himself in Florida, and I could not find a new story for love or money using Google or YouTube. I just couldn't find it, and that's the reason.
Yeah.
So you just did a reason. Now, this one will hit even closer to home, even though people use Google all the time. I think Facebook is more front and center in their minds, a lot of people. Well, not everyone, but some people. That's a very big thing to them still. So you've just completed a study on Facebook and how they have interfered in elections. So tell us what you found.
Yeah, so we did a big study on Google first, and that's Gabriella Pariso on our team who led that effort. She's amazing. And after a big Google study, you know, 41 times of election interference, she turned her sights on Facebook. Gabriella, and I helped her with it, of course, but we found 39 times that Facebook has specifically interfered in elections. And now it's up to 40 because they just yet again took down RFK Jr.'s site on YouTube. But they are specifically engaging in election interference, documented cases. Of course, the biggest one of all was in the 2020 election, taking down the Hunter Biden laptop story. Anybody who tried to repost the New York Post story, that their posts were shadow banned and withheld, so they could not get currency out in the public. And it had its intended effect. Sandy, you know that MRC did a poll right after that election, and we discovered that 45% of Biden voters had never even heard of the Hunter Biden laptop story. Mm-hmm. Big media and big tech was successful in silencing that story, and 9.4% of Biden voters would not have voted for him had they heard of that story.
Let me just underline that to put it in context. The New York Post is a big outlet. I mean, you could look. I wouldn't forgive them, and I think it's wrong. But they might censor Epoch Times. They might censor Washington Times. They might, you know what I'm saying. The New York Post is right there in the heart of New York City. It is a big media outlet, and they dared to take down their story about the truth about the Hunter Biden laptop, what was in it. It was a wonderful, Miranda Devine, I think, was the one who wrote that. They dared to take that down. That was the boldest thing in public, I think, that people could see that. I think that's the first time people could actually see what they were doing, don't you?
Yeah, and of course, all these same left-wing outlets, whether they're the media or social media, they worked overtime to promote the hoax that Donald Trump was a Russian spy, which today we just all giggle at and laugh at, but half of America believed it, that Trump was a Russian spy. But then when the real story comes out, that the Biden family is committing crimes, getting paid to commit crimes internationally, big tech and big media go into overdrive to silence that story. And they're still doing it. You're not going to find stories in the New York Times, the Washington Post, about Hunter Biden, his uncle, or Joe Biden, and what they're doing.
No, and I think that goes along with it, censoring, you know, the truth about COVID. All the stuff we've learned about the COVID vaccination, that you're not going to find. You're still not going to find that. And then, of course, it's January 6th. There, as I just said, I gave you an example of what just happened to me this morning. You can't find stuff. You have to go to Rumble. You have to go to Epoch Times or whatever. They are keeping – that's why – you know, when we go out a lot, Dan, we start to chat with people who are, because we live in a place where people chat with each other next to each other, a lot of people from all over the country. And we are amazed at the ignorance, and I don't mean stupidity, I mean the lack of information, the ignorance, the repeating of talking points of the leftist media, and they don't even know they're doing it. They don't even know it. That's the kind
that's
of effect
right.
It's had. People are living in a dream world, not understanding how bad things are.
So, our founders knew two things, that democracy was only suitable to a moral people. And secondly, the people had to be educated, had to know what's going on. And both of these things are really lacking today in our society. If we don't take back our country as a moral people, as a faith-oriented people, and if we are not working hard to make sure we understand what's really going on and exercising our strength, then we will lose this country forever.
Well, I think you're right. Do you think, though, would you agree that the alternative sources of media that I've mentioned, like my own show, like American Family Radio, like Epoch and fill in the blank, lots of great resources, The Blaze, others, are having a significant impact on the information stream, and that gives me hope. I think that's the current situation, don't you, that they're making a pretty good dent in the left's narrative?
Absolutely. And look, we can see it in the polls, because what we do know is that ABC, NBC, CBS, Washington Post, New York Times, et cetera, they are not covering the news. The people are not learning what's really going on through those outlets. But in poll after poll, we see that the American public has become much more knowledgeable about immigration, the economy, what's going on within the Biden administration, the censorship regime. You know, 3 years ago when I would talk to people about Google, they had no idea that Google was bad. Today, I would guess that a majority of your audience now knows that Google is out to destroy America. So it's people like you, Sandy, and your wonderful show and your audience where we are really gaining a foothold and turning things around.
Well, thank you, Dan. Thank you for that kind compliment. We have an election coming up, and I cover, you know, the laws, illegal immigrants voting, all of that stuff, Dan. But you guys I have not discussed with anyone the social media side of this. Where are we with these outlets when it comes to this upcoming election?
You know, when we published that piece about Facebook election interference with Gabriella Pariseau taking the lead on that, we were expressing some hope that, unlike Google, we saw Facebook starting to come back into the fold of a free speech narrative, kind of like, you know, Elon Musk's X. But since we published that, Facebook has announced new policies and they've taken new action. They are ramping up their censorship, not winding it down. So, this is what we were concerned about a year ago. The big tech and the Biden administration will stop at nothing. And as he drops farther and farther in the polls, I expect big tech and big media and the Biden administration to become even more and more aggressive. They're going to be desperate to stay in power.
Well, that's like they've doubled down on arresting people over J6. They've doubled the rate, Dan, of arrests. It's because I think they see blood. They see that they almost have the prize. They've come a long way. They've taken so much control. They've been able to intimidate people and cause so much harm. And now what's happening on campuses, and they see victory, and they're just they're pulling out all the stops. And I think that's what's happening. That's why we have to pull out all of our stops too. So, you have company now.
Well,
don't get mugged. Yeah. Don't get mugged. So Dan, just a last word from you about, you've said it so well about our future, but do you hold any hope that we can, are there other media outlets like social media outlets that are really blossoming while this is happening?
Well, look, the best search outlet, if you don't want to be, you know, given biased left-wing results, is called Tusk. Tusk works very diligently to make sure that its search results are fair and balanced. Of course, on other social media platforms, there's Truth Social, and Parler still exists, even though Amazon and Facebook did everything they could to try to kill it. And there are others that are out there. But if you have to use Google, just sort of ignore the first page of search results and go to the second or third page of search results. That's where you'll probably get more accurate information that Google never wants you to see. It's a constant effort. We all have to keep striving to win our country.
Yeah. Okay, so Tusk is T-U-S-K. Is that right?
That's right, Tusk. It's a search engine.
Well, I love the name of it. All right. So Dan Schneider, Media Research Center, Vice President of MRC Free Speech America. You've done great work, Dan, and we just appreciate you joining us today. And God bless America, right?
Hey, thanks, Sandy.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Dan. Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Preborn Network clinics are a sanctuary for women caught in the crossroads of life-altering decisions. They are beacons of hope, offering more than ultrasounds and pregnancy tests, but also emotional and spiritual guidance to those who feel pressured to abort. And that's why I ask you to help me help them. All you have to do is go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and I miss you in the mornings. But now I'm hosting a podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, which is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com. Well, I finally finished that book. God's Velvet Hammer chronicles God's call in my life, from a small town girl to Berlin, Germany, Radio Moscow to North Korea to Washington, D.C. I talk about Sasha Girl. It was my disabled daughter. I talk about I've Got the Music in Me. That's a chapter on my music life. Lost in India and Other Adventures is hilarious. You won't want to miss it. I talk about my sweetheart, The Blessing of Bruce. And then a mysterious chapter called My Green Face and the End of It All. Oh, I think you'll enjoy it. Like the Apostle Paul, these are my shipwrecks and my adventures. All for Christ and His kingdom. God's Velvet Hammer is available wherever books are sold. And remember, Sandy Rios 24/7 is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com.
USA! 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 USA!
All right, Sandy Rios with you. Hearing the voices of Ole Miss students responding to their Hamas supporters, that's pretty refreshing. I played a clip earlier in the show of them singing the Star Spangled Banner. I love those responses. I like those responses better than the ones at Duke, where, you know, Jerry Seinfeld is Jewish. He supports Israel. The Hamas supporters stood up, you know, to interrupt his message, his speech on their graduation. And the Duke University students started chanting, Jerry, Jerry, which is okay, but not nearly as good as USA and God Bless America. Hi, honey. My husband is with me. Bruce is a former FBI agent. He's joined me. He's been listening, and I bet he has a few things to say about what we just talked about.
Well, Sandy, what probably struck me the most is the way at these major universities, money talks. And you heard Mr. Schneider say that $34 million has been received by these nine universities that sort of let these protests go on.
That's just George Soros money. That's just
from George Soros.
That's not Chinese money.
Let it go on.
Yeah.
And only $1.5 million at the five universities that stood up to this. And how refreshing to hear the Ole Miss students at the University of Mississippi expressing how I think the vast, vast, vast majority of people in this country feel, but they're afraid to do.
Yeah. And no, it was really refreshing. And I hope I wish that would be playing on a loop all over the place so that other kids in other colleges could get an idea of what they could do in response. There's nothing wrong with responding by overwhelming them with people that love this country. Just like the students at, what was it, another university in the South where the fraternity boys pulled the Hamas flag down and then put the American flag back up and started singing. They were terrible. Their singing was terrible, but they were great.
That was also Ole Miss.
It was at Ole Miss,
yes.
Too? All right. Well, I'm going to Ole Miss, I think. I'm going to go back to school.
Well, you know, it is still frustrating to me that we have so much censoring going on in this country. And when you talk about Google being the worst, because Google just dominates things. I mean, it's like saying, I need a Kleenex. Kleenex is a brand. It's a tissue that you need. It's like, I need to Google something.
Right.
Google
I
is,
do
a,
that.
Is a company, not mm-hmm. a, you know, a noun or a verb, I mean. And this astounds me when he gave the example of the Republican website versus the Democratic websites, and that, of course, when you Google the Democratic websites, Joe Biden comes up number one.
Yeah.
And RFK at number 27? There aren't 27 people running on the Democratic side. How can he be number 27? And then, even more ironic, when you Google the Republicans' websites, Donald Trump is not even listed.
Well, Facebook is the same thing, Bruce, because remember they went after Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders was challenging Hillary Clinton in 2020, and they just wouldn't even cover his, not that I'm sad about that, but he would have been just as bad as Hillary. But that's how much they have picked a candidate, and people have to understand they are not objective. It's not like the Encyclopedia Britannica. This is serious business. You cannot trust your Facebook for the information. You could trust stuff from your friends, pictures of the grandbabies, but that's about it. And so you have to go to trustworthy sources.
It's really sad that as people overall, we become very lazy and we don't pay attention to what the sources are. Everyone, oh yeah, I'll Google it or I'll look on Wikipedia. Those sources are only as good as the people that are programming them.
Oh, my goodness. I'm glad you mentioned Wikipedia. I'll just have to say, I meant to say this when I was talking with Dan. Has anyone ever heard of Catherine Marr? Well, Catherine is the new CEO of Signal, which is that like so-called secret way of communicating. People use this, I'm telling you, in the highest places. And now we know that Catherine is the one that's in charge of that. And Catherine is now the new CEO of NPR. And Catherine, before that, fact, people say that she is so far to the left, she is actually conducting her own color revolution, which is a kind of communist revolution that's taken place in the last few decades. So I don't know what's going to happen with Signal, but I'm just telling you, they're after all of our social media, all of our ways to engage with one another. So be careful. And remember that Dan suggested Tusk. I've never tried that, so I'm gonna look into that, T-U-S-K, as a way to keep yourself apprised. Also, I would just caution you, don't listen to the news feeds that your phone provides you. They'll send you all kinds of information. Look, if they're telling you that, they're trying to control what you know and how you're bent, your approach on what's true and what isn't. And it's just, look for sources. Go to Epoch Times. Go directly to these outlets. Go to The Blaze. Go to, I've got a lot, PJ Media. There's a lot of them. But go directly to them. Dan Bongino, The Bongino Report. Don't go now. Even Fox is not trustworthy anymore. I've told you that. Just be selective. I think they're pretty good on Israel, but... And they're finally covering Trump. They ignored him for years now, but they're finally covering President Trump. Isn't that something?
Yes, and I'm getting tired of people saying, oh, if I would have known about the Hunter Biden story, I wouldn't have voted Democratic. You know, that's a willing unknowingness, I think. There was certainly enough out there that if you are truly worried about how should I vote, what should I know, you could have discovered that story. Yeah. I know it's harder to, but you... Just as Schneider said, if we're going to maintain this republic, our founder said, you must have people that are moral and that are educated. You don't get educated by just Googling things. You use your common sense, you look at both sides, and then you make a decision.
Yeah, and pay attention to who you're listening to. So, honey, thank you. Thank you for joining me. This has been Sandy Rios 24/7. You can call us. I know you might hear some things that you don't like, you might disagree with. We'd love to hear from you. We'd like to know. 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. Or you can write us. You can give us your opinions that way at sandy@afr.net. You can go to any social media outlet that you use. Yes, we're still there, even though I've been, shadow banned on Facebook for so long, I can't believe it. But if you can get it, I hope you can. Sandy Rios 24/7. And also then just go to AFR.net. That's a great source of information. AFR News, by the way, is wonderful. So that's a really great source. But
if they can't get you, they could always go to Rachel Maddow, honey.
That's true. Yes, I can always depend on Rachel to tell the truth about me. All right, so AFR.net, and you can go to any podcast platform to listen to the show. Last but not least, go to sandyrios.com, and you can listen very easily. Well, actually, you should Tusk me at sandyrios.com. Just Tusk, okay? So, all right, well, thank you, honey, for joining me today, and thank all of you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.